Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey! You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, folks? This is That Story Show, where our purpose is to brighten your day with hilarious real-life stories. This is episode I Don't Have a Clue, because we are recording what I call an alternative episode with our special guest host, Lucas Kirk. Luke, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. We're recording this just for fun. I'll just tell you, January 22nd, 2019, it is a Tuesday afternoon and it is freezing outside. The weather is frightful. And it's not good. So, Lucas, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're married?
I'm married.
And you're a listener to the show?
I'm a listener to the show.
And you've been listening for how long?
So, I thought about it, and I've been listening since 2007. So, like, what was that, the second year?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Early days.
Yeah.
Long time. I'd started my second job, and I found out about iTunes.
As soon as I found out about podcasting, I knew I had to start a podcast.
I always wanted to start one. I just never had the motivation.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, then what am I going to talk about? And then I was like, well, who's going to talk about it with me?
It is hard to find someone. There were some struggles when David had to leave the show. It was hard. I was trying to find guest hosts, and then there was the infamous JoJo episode. So
I may have skipped a few of those.
Yeah. It was a dark time. But anyway, we're really glad to have Lucas on. How many, you got kids?
I have a daughter.
Yep.
She's technically my stepdaughter, but I've raised her since she was little.
Oh.
Who is now, she actually turns 19 next month.
Oh, dang.
And she has a baby, which makes me a grandpa.
No way!
And I'm only 31.
Wow.
So I'm a young grandpa. I do have some gray hair, too.
But you cheated. You cheated.
I did.
Yeah.
And then we have two little boys, Benjamin and Jackson. Benjamin, he turns 10 this year.
Wow.
Which I can't believe. Which also marks 10 years of our 10-year anniversary, mine and my wife's.
Okay. We,
10 years this month, actually. And then
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And then Jackson, who is 7, going on 8, I think. So.
And what is their favorite thing to do to torture their dad?
Let's see. Torture their mom. That's how they torture their dad.
Will you do something about those boys?
I could. Yep. Yeah. You get those phone calls at work. You're like, what am I supposed to do about it? But I try.
Yeah.
Look, if you don't quit it, when I get home, and then they're hoping, you know, I'll forget it by the time
I
get home.
Right, right. I've had those conversations with my son, and he's pretty mild mannered, you know. He's not a climb the walls kind of kid, you know, boy. But he can disrespect somebody with the best of them. And I've had to pull him aside. I'm like, that's my wife right there. You know, I'll defend her against anybody, even you. You got to straighten them out. I think that's what's wrong with boys today. You know, they talk about toxic masculinity and all that. It's because they aren't being trained. They aren't being whacked upside the head by a big, strong man telling them, hey, this is not acceptable. You're not a Viking.
You can't do that anymore, though.
Well, so what?
I agree. Smack him upside the head till they catch you.
My son has the perfect head. It goes back. Like, have you ever seen Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Yeah.
And that crystal skull had this big, long back of his head. That's the way my son's head is. And it is just a nice 45-degree angle on the back. And it's perfect for that hand to just go back there and say, pop, what were you thinking?
You catch them underneath?
Yeah, just cup it.
Oh, man.
It's great.
Both of my boys have these massive heads. I mean, just big. We had to buy clothes that were two sizes larger for them when they were small so we could get over the head
through. That's great.
It was.
My kids were in the 90th percentile for head size. Both of them. They look like Bratz dolls, man.
Yep. Like, that's what mine were. Like
Funko Pops. They're very cute, though. Makes them cute.
The doctor thought our kids had Down syndrome.
Oh, really?
Big, massive heads.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they learned to stand up by standing on their heads. That's how they started. They were so heavy.
They're kind of like Weeble Wobbles.
Yeah.
They just upside they down. Wobble all the time.
It's great. Yeah. my son still, when he wants to walk in a direction, he just tilts his head forward and then his body just kind of follows to keep him balanced.
Go with the gravity.
That's right. Well, let me think. What's your favorite story or episode or moment on from Nobody's Listening or that story show?
Man. Oh, man. I'm not a person who has like one favorite thing. I just like a lot of things.
Whatever.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. It's hard to say because I like a lot of the story. When I listen to the show, what it does is it causes me to think about all these things that's happened to me.
Right.
And so not one of them. There is one, though. My wife shared a story one time about Mickey Mouse. I don't know if you remember this. She sent in a story about Mickey Mouse. She used to have this pole in her room that her mom would use, this old carpet pole.
Uh-huh.
Or a carpet, cardboard carpet roll. And she would make stuffed animal tree out of it. And she had this Mickey Mouse, and she said
that. Let's see. Hold on. My grandmother and several of my mom's five brothers all installed flooring for a living. My mom would find really unique ways to use the thick and not to mention 8 foot long cardboard rolls that the carpet was stored on. That sounds like an awesome grandma. One of these unique ideas was to cover it in contact paper, put 30 hooks on it, and hang my stuffed animals on it. That's awesome, too. Every night I got in bed and looked up at Mickey Mouse hanging on this floor to ceiling roll of cardboard covered in flowers and stuffed animals. My mom always left my closet light on, and the way the shadows laid around the room made Mickey seem even more menacing. I swear I saw his eyes move. On more than one occasion, this fear led me to believe that if I laid perfectly still in the middle of the bed and did not move, Mickey would leave me alone and not get me in my sleep. So night after night, I would be tucked in bed and then lay in complete horror, completely still in the middle of my bed until I fell asleep. I even had a dream that I remember to this day that Mickey was floating towards me, laughing with his stuffed arm reaching for me. Still gives me chills, Carrie. That is from September 2nd, 2014.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Long time ago. She included a picture and everything, and he is a freaky looking Mickey.
He is. But what John does in that episode is you ask him to do the Mickey Mouse voice.
Oh.
And he does it. and he goes, oh, I'm coming to get you.
I'm lightheaded. Oh, I forgot about that. That's great.
Oh, yep. I love John's voices. They're the best.
Oh, man. See, my son is a big stuffed animal guy, and I'm still recovering. I'm sorry. Ooh. But yeah, he can't have any of them looking at him at night. And so you go to his room right now, and everything is turned facing the wall. Everything. Anything with eyes, his bank. It has Darth Vader. It's a Darth Vader bank. It's turned around, facing the other way. Everything has to be turned around, not looking at him.
I used to have one of those. You remember those stuffed animal chains you pick up at Walmart?
Yeah.
I had one of those in my room. Yeah, and I had tons of stuffed animals. And I didn't care that they looked at me, but I grew up in a very Pentecostal, kind of name and claim it kind of home.
Right.
And so I used to pray there was two things I would always pray. I would pray that a bad guy would not come in my window at night. And then I would also pray that God would turn me into the Sonic the Hedgehog, like the stuffed animal I had.
If you claim it, it'll happen. If you just believe it and claim it and keep
that was my problem. I prayed it.
Keep your confession. Keep it positive. And
yeah. So what I ended up looking like was the big guy with the mustache,
Dr. Robotnik or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Dr. Eggman, Robotnik.
I think they call him now.
Yeah, just kind of round, bald, with a ridiculous mustache.
It's all right. I prayed for a cowboy hat. The man told me to be very specific in what I wanted, and I detailed out the way I wanted the headband to look and everything. And I prayed and believed, and I never got that cowboy hat, and I'm so glad. I was glad.
Facebook, I think it needs to be changed. I think the name needs to be changed to, like, Let Down, like, Social Media Let Down or something like that. Because, like, the other day, you know, I get in those video holes. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you watch one video, and then you go to the next.
Keep going.
And the next,
okay.
Keep going. Sometimes so bad I run out of videos, and then I have to go read what people are posting. It's really sad.
I just try to stay off Facebook as much as possible. I'm a poster, and I don't really read very much, but it depresses me for some reason.
It does. It does. But yeah, so they were showing how they make cowboy hats, and I always thought they were made out of leather. I thought the cheap ones were made out of, like, you know, fabric. But I found out that...
What are they made of?
They're made basically out of... They're like a felt and cotton... Oh. Hybrid thing.
Well, I'm sure there's different hats, you know, at different price ranges.
Maybe. I don't know.
But you're right. Like, leather wouldn't breathe if you were a cowboy.
You would sweat like crazy. Dude,
it would be like somebody sitting on your head, like a big flappy butt right up there. It's not an appetizing thought. So, no. So anyway, I invited Mr. Kirk to come on and tell us some stories and help us fill in a blank for whenever we can't record a show for whatever reason. And he was more than happy to come and do it. And so I do appreciate you being on the show and helping us out.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Let's do a weekly rewind. Okay, mine is it's actually older, but I've been saving it for one of these, so it works out good. I was having lunch the other week with my friend David, and he had a friend that he brought in that he met, a guy that was fresh out of prison and just needing some help, needing some work. And we are currently converting a movie theater, an old movie theater, 100-year-old movie theater, into a community center. So we've got work. And he took the guy out for lunch, and I met him there. And the guy's awesome. He's very cool to talk to. He's got a son that he's trying to make up for lost time with. And he said that he had a bet. He's talking to me because he could just tell I'm a geeky guy. And he's like, I got a question, man. He says, my son, he says, I got 50 push-ups riding on this. My son says that Captain America was the first Avenger. And I'm like telling him, no, Iron Man was. And I was like, dude, I got bad news for you. Captain America. Push-ups, son. And I explained to him, you know, he was alive way back here, and he froze, and now he's up. And so though he may look younger and seem more new, he's not. And he's like, ah, dang it. And sure enough, next time I saw him, the first thing he said was like, dang, he made me do every one of those push-ups, every single one of them. So I was thrilled. Thrilled to be a part of that. So anyway, there it is.
So I have a question. You said you are renovating, or you guys were renovating, a movie theater?
Yeah, we're still working on it. We're planning on opening in April.
Okay, I've done this before. Have you had anything to do with taking out any of the theater seats?
No, they were all gone. Like,
you are so lucky.
I could imagine that it's torture.
It's absolutely disgust. I wasn't wearing any gloves.
Oh.
And so we would get down there with wrenches and stuff, and all the bolts are rusted from all the soda that's been spilled on them. and they're all gummy from all the candy and Lord knows what else is down there. Oh, it's so gross.
No, they were all gone. It's up. I don't know that it ever had regular seats. We have records of them using a hand cranked projector back when it was first opened in 1911 or something like that. Yeah, 1911.
Man.
So no, it's held together with dust and cat hair. That's a rat hair probably.
Is it one of those places that creeps you out in the dark?
Oh yes. Oh yes. And dude, it has an area. There's the projection booth upstairs. You go up this eensy non-code staircase to get to the top, and there's and every room up there but one is just dark, just immediately dark, so dark that the light from the other room doesn't even pierce it. And so you have to just by faith walk past the demons to turn on the light in the third room, you know, the projection
all the
room.
Demons that have been let in from all the terrible movies it's been watching, like Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think it ever made it that far. I think the last movie they said that was played in there was Jim Lee. What's his name? The karate guy.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. There we go.
Bruce Lee.
Not the artist. Bruce Lee. Yeah, not Jim Lee. Anyway, so you go through the projection room into this second room, and that's where the air conditioners and stuff are. But then you step up into a room behind that with a full-size door, but it's for some reason 2.5-3 feet off the ground, which is just freaky. And so now you're over the lobby in the back, you know, the back of the building. And then and there's shelves and stuff in there, and it's got a single light bulb hanging, like 14 watts. I don't even know how they got 14-watt bulb. But then you turn left, and 2 more feet off the ground is a small door. It is perfectly scaled down, but it is small, and there is just nothing in there but wooden planks and stuff hanging from the ceiling. And it's just where Annabelle would have lived if she was real. And so, of course, every time we have teenagers over to do inner city outreach or any of that kind of stuff, I take them on a little ghost tour.
Sounds like a fun place to like hide and wait for people to walk through, but I think I'd be too scared to even hide.
Well, most of the kids never make it to the secret Annabelle room. That's what we call it. And but the ones that do, and they're just too bold, I've got this thing where I jump into the room and look like I'm being dragged, and I've never turned around and had anybody still standing there. So
it's because they're all downstairs washing their pants out from all the pee.
I bought a doll online that I was going to paint to be looking a little freaky, and I was just going to set it up there and not tell anybody. But my daughter ended up taking it to a lock-in and putting it at the top of the stairs during a scavenger hunt, and it scared the jank out of a whole bunch of people to the point that they tore it apart. Like exercised it or something. So you now she owes me $12.
You should just go buy 5 white candles and place them in a circle up there in the room. A little burnt, melted, some wax on the floor.
That reminds
maybe
me.
Maybe a table with some pictures on it.
In Florida, in the, at the park behind my house, there was an awning, you know, a little picnic thing. And up on the roof of this thing, people had graffitied, you know, and markered and all this stuff. But somebody had drawn in chalk a very specific pentagramish kind of thing. It wasn't a pentagram, but it was definitely something. And it looked like it was done as a joke, not as, you know, just to freak people out, not something serious. So I grabbed a piece of my kid's sidewalk chalk and I drew 2 Mickey ears on both sides of it. And I was very proud of myself.
Oh, I want your soul.
Oh, I'm coming for you, Carrie. So there we go. Now we're full circle. So now that was my weekly rewind and the aftermath. So what do you got there, Mr. Man?
Oh man, I don't really have anything that's happened to me this week.
Well,
I don't know. We were talking about kids earlier.
Yeah,
I had to take all my son's stuff out of his room. Like I took everything. I left him with clothes and a bed.
For punishment?
Punishment. He is under strict discipline.
Whoa. What'd he do?
Oh man. I don't even know if I should tell you.
Don't.
He's, no, he got mad. He got mad at my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law lives with us. She's dealt with some health issues, so we asked her to live with us and help take care of her. And so she lives with us, and so she was helping him get ready on the bus one morning. He wanted to wear shorts underneath his pants. And my son he's really smart, because this was his plan, to wear shorts underneath his pants, so when he got home, he could just take off his pants, and he's already ready to lounge.
That sounds like my son. Oh, my gosh. He would go a step further and wear pajama pants under the shorts.
Oh, the day that they had pajama day at school, he was so excited. Oh. He was like, I'm just wearing my pajamas to bed.
I'm never showering or nothing. That would be my son. If showers weren't mandatory, he would never take a shower. He is every bit a boy in that respect. But
that's my kids. Go get in the shower, and then you get in an argument with them because they claim they took a shower the day before, but they smell like dirty, sweaty
feet. No, they got a shower every day, and I love these 4-second showers. It's like the water didn't even have time to get hot, and you're already walking back out. I don't get it.
Well, now they're starting to get to that age where they just want to hang out in the hot shower for an hour.
Well, I'm not there yet.
No, they ran out all my hot water yesterday.
That's my wife's job at my house, so.
But so my son and my mother-in-law got into an argument because he was trying to put on his brother's shorts and they were too small, and they were arguing back and forth, and he slapped her on the arm. Oh my goodness,
dude. Yeah, appropriate reaction was had then. Yeah, dude.
Well, there was more actions. Ooh. But I will not incriminate myself.
Right. Dang. Yeah, you don't hit your daggum grandma.
No, you don't hit
a woman. Yeah.
Ever.
But when there's titles involved, I mean, you hit mom, you hit granny, your tookus is grass. So
your tookus is Lucas.
So, okay, we're done.
That was terrible.
We're done.
That was terrible.
Thanks for being on the show. All right, let's do feature story.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right. Hit us with a story or whatever. You can tell one or two or whatever you want to do.
Well, we'll see what this turns into.
Okay.
But I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, man, you guys had just done a show, and there was a lot of death involved in that show.
Yeah, the death show, because Bambi died, and so why not?
Yeah. I mean, lots of death here lately, and we laugh at it. So I had to go to a funeral for my stepsister's daughter. Young girl. She was born with a lot of disabilities and some diseases. And so they didn't expect her to live as long as she did. But thank God she did, and her parents at that time. So we went to the funeral. And I've been to my stepfamily's side their funerals a couple times. There's been several funerals here in their family since my mom remarried. And they're all a bit different. So I didn't really know.
Now define different.
Different than most people's.
Okay.
Like, for instance, the funeral's usually pretty normal. Especially for like a Christian style funeral in a church, there's always music, which I always get asked to sing. It's usually Amazing Grace.
Right.
So I'm not very fond of that song.
Cause you associate it with the dead people.
With lots of dead people. So, but what they like to do at the graveside is when the funeral's over, they like to hang around and wait for the casket to be dropped down into the
they call
it a vault. Mm. And then they wait for the vault lid to go on and make sure it's sealed properly, and they'll even hang around until the dirt is covering the grave.
Wow.
And so it's like an hour-long process, and they have some family plots that are like an hour away from the church that they have the services at. So it takes like 2 hours to get there because you drive like 45 miles an hour or whatever.
Man, I'd be calling people like, how you feeling, Aunt Bessie? You doing okay? Because we're going on vacation. And
well, the first one we went to for that side of the family, we got stuck in the fan with the family therapist.
Oh, goodness.
So I thought it was comical because she sat next to my sister and her and my sister were talking the whole time. But she would ask my sister things like, so why is it you don't think you're married yet?
Oh, wow.
I got tears rolling down my face.
Wow.
It's just awesome. It's so funny. But anyway, so just, back to my...
She couldn't step out of her job there at all, man.
That's, she could. I guess it's just habit. Like, how are you?
It's conversational, yeah. How's your childhood?
So why do you think your front door's black?
Yeah.
So anyway, we're at a funeral for... she would be my, I guess, step-niece. And they're going to do some music. The worship leader's there. He's a younger guy. I think he's fairly new to like doing ministry or funeral anyway.
You can always tell you, man.
Always tell. I've done these several times. I know what the first time's like. It's completely nerve wracking.
Yes.
And then, so he's up there and they have a drummer, but it wasn't their regular drummer. They had to call in this guy. So he comes walking in. He's a nice looking tall black man, but he's kind of dressed like he's a jazz musician.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his fedora on and stuff. And yeah. I'm like, okay, this guy's
he's dressed for a gig.
Right. He looks nice. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this will be okay. You know? So he gets up there and he gets behind the electronic drum set. And I'm like, okay. And he goes to do a little sound check. Well, he pulls out two sticks. I'm a musician and I immediately notice his sticks because his sticks are clear.
Ooh.
They are what you call glow sticks.
No.
Yes. And I'm like, surely he doesn't turn these on at a funeral.
Oh, they have batteries and stuff?
They have batteries. You have to turn them on and then a little LED lights up. And
yeah,
then you have
surely he wouldn't that- turn them on.
Surely he wouldn't turn him on, and sure enough, he does.
And say, I'm like, oh, you wouldn't my be Lord. Telling the story if he didn't, you know.
but there's many aspects to this story.
Oh gosh.
So he turns them on, and I'm like, oh my gosh. He turns on his light sticks. And so he does a little sound check and then we wait a little bit. Well, they open up. They go to open up with the first song. And the poor worship leader, he realizes his guitar amp is off.
Oh.
And he goes to turn around and turn on his guitar amp. And as he does, the neck of his guitar catches the mic stand.
Yep. I've done it. That's what I knew.
He wiped out half the stage.
Oh. It's so terrible because you want, I've been, you know, the pastor at these things, and you want to just almost be like an invisible hand of comfort for the family. Like like what you do, you want to matter, not you being there kind of thing. And so when you do something like that, oh my gosh, it's just like, hey, I'm here and I'm in your face and I'm messing up your memories and I'm disrespecting the dead. And oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible for the family, but hilarious. I have a dark sense of humor. Yes. It was... I was trying my hardest not to laugh. And my sister was too, because we share this dark sense of humor. And she's grabbing my leg and we're trying, and you know, she's got her fingernails in my leg trying to keep me from laughing. And I'm like giving her the death stare, trying to keep her from laughing.
Right.
And then the funeral proceeds, you know, he gets everything set up. He apologizes and they proceed with the funeral, the first song and everything. Well, then the youth pastor, it's his time to get up there because he's going to talk about this girl that was in his youth group, you know? And so the pastor's done his thing. The youth pastor comes up and he goes, I want to do, and this dude kind of looks like Jesus. He's got the beard, the long hair, blue eyes. And he's like, he's got a suit on, but it's not like, it's kind of not tucked in, but it is kind of tucked in. He just kind of looks not completely put together.
Right. Like a youth pastor.
So he gets up there and he grabs his acoustic off the stand. He goes, I want to do a song. And this was her favorite song. And I'm like, all right. I don't know how you know that because she couldn't talk, but okay.
Oh. goodness.
And he starts playing this bar, this like heavy bar chord, like A chord, and he starts singing, "What will people think if they hear that I'm a Jesus freak?"
Oh my gosh. DC talk, old school.
I was waiting for him to get up and do Toby Mac's riff.
Oh, I had to match his something on the belly in my head. Jesus claims out here.
Lord. Order says in a typical tattoo green.
Yeah. He stood on a block in the middle of the city and I knew
he claimed he had a dream.
Very appropriate for a funeral.
Very appropriate for a funeral.
He's putting the fun in funeral. That's for sure.
And he's like jumping around the stage. His hair's all over the place.
Oh gosh!
But it was just like the. It lightened up the mood a little bit,
right?
Because I hate being set at funerals.
Yeah, like annoying to have to be sad at a funeral.
Right. Right.
I'm being facetious, but yeah.
I know. No, but you know what I mean. Like, you go to a funeral for, like, you know, someone who is shot down because of drugs or whatever, and it's a sad funeral. But one where the whole family has been going to church their whole lives, and you're pretty sure everybody's saved, and the person who's died is saved, is like, you know, you hate for them to be super sad.
Right, right.
You know? So, it was just a very, very interesting funeral.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, I've been to some interesting funerals as well, and it's a totally different thing. Most of my experience was in the inner city, and it's just interesting the way African American Black folks and Hispanic folks do funerals differently. It's not wrong, obviously. It felt wrong, you know, the first time. I'm this Southern boy, you know, suddenly exposed to the way the inner city works. But I've come to really, really, really appreciate a lot of the extra things that are done in these not white funerals. In some ways, there's a lot more structure. In other ways, it's a lot looser. They give time for the children to get up and share. Like if it was a daughter or a sibling or, you know, the kids in the family, no matter how they were related, each get to come up and it takes forever. Oh my gosh. Longest funerals you will ever go to in your entire life. And
no, I disagree. I just went to the funeral of an officer who died here recently. And I was like, well, this shouldn't take too long. But an officer for a funeral who died in the line of duty.
Yeah.
There are so many things that they do and they're cool. It's really cool to watch, but there's just so much stuff.
All right. We're talking about normal people. No disrespect to the men in blue there. I'm just saying if Santa Claus died, yeah, I would expect there to be some pomp and circumstance, but we're just talking about normal people that have died. It's just that nobody does it quite like the African American community in my book and Hispanic community. Matter of fact, when I die, I'm going to add a lot of stuff. It was just funny because I didn't do it right the first few times, and I got pulled aside by a couple of our Black ministers and told how to do this and what to read and all this kind of stuff. And now I'm a champ. I'm a champ.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, the sharing time, sharing is caring time.
Yes.
And my wife, when her grandma died, we went to that funeral. It was an hour away. And we get up there and we find out that the pastor had something come up. I don't remember what it was, but he couldn't do it.
Oh,
so, and it was very last minute. So, my wife's cousin calls her pastor at her church, who's like fairly new to the ministry, and she's like, can you please do this funeral? So he like gets himself dressed and runs over there real quick. Doesn't know. He didn't find out her grandma's name.
Oh,
So he didn't know what to call her. He read the obit very awkwardly, kind of like he had never done a funeral before.
Right.
And then when it comes time to share, he goes, now, if anybody would like to come up and share, the microphone is open for you to do so. And he kind of stands back and it gets real quiet. Nobody's saying much of anything. And then he gets up in the microphone and he goes, "Awkward silence."
Why? You might as well play crickets chirping on your phone or something. Goodness gracious.
It was awesome. I'm just glad I've never had to do a funeral.
Yeah, they're not fun. I had to do one for a kid, and as a children's pastor, and it was rough. It was rough.
Kids are always harder. Adults, not as hard, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, it just depends on who you are in the yeah. room. You know, if
kids
you're
are pretty hard.
If you're related to them, I imagine it's pretty hard. But yeah, those accidental things that happen, they're just not. They're not good, you know, and I'm with you though. The last funeral I went to was for a kid that he wasn't a child. He was a grown man, but he was a kid back when I was a children's pastor. And he was, they I don't know how to say this. I'm just, they were people of the, how do I say this in a nice way?
Just say it,
Dave.
Just say it.
These were people of meager, I don't want to say, they weren't poor people. They were uncultured people. Let's just say it that way. You know, just a bunch of white folks just not caring about what they're dressed like. You know, and
that's my wife's family. They show up in jeans, cowboy hats.
It's my family too, man. I come from humble beginnings.
They got the Wolf Allen at the Moon on their
yeah,
shirt.
Yeah. If it was my family, I would refer to them as white trash, but I'm not going to say that about this other family.
No, you don't say that about other people.
No, I wouldn't say that, but I was raised in a trailer. I, you know, wore other people's clothes to school and, you know, this, that, and the other. So these are my people. That's what I'll just say. I'll just say, these are my kind of people. And, so they tell them in advance because there's a divorce and there's parents on both sides that hate each other. And they tell them when they come up on the mic to keep it civil, and which I've never heard at a funeral before. Don't say anything, you know, against the other side of the family, I guess. And, but they specifically put some things in because the dad of this guy, is crazy. He's a crazy man. He always has been. He's just straight up nuts. And, they said, we want to keep it to 5 minutes. Well, he gets up there and he says it. Sure enough, I knew he was going to do it. He's like, "Well, Pastor, I appreciate you saying 5 minutes, but I'm the father. I'm going to take more than 5 minutes." And he did, dude. He spoke for 40 minutes and said the same thing over and over and over, and not a tear in his eye. The guy didn't give three craps about his kids when I was there. So, you know, what's going to change now that he's not even living in the same house with him? But he wanted to get up there and look important. And seemed like he wasn't the bad father that he was. And, it was sad. So I was actually sitting next to another kid from my children's church who was not doing too well in his life. And, I said, "Dude, you want to get out of here?" 'Cause I'm thinking, why am I going to sit here and watch this with a, you know, I've paid my respects when I got a kid right here who I can pour into, you know, and hopefully evade having to come out for his funeral, you know?
Right.
So we did, man.
You don't want to accidentally end up in the processional driving, you know, 45 minutes to the, And you don't want to be that guy that awkwardly leaves the funeral home as everybody's still getting in their cars.
Yeah.
Funerals are uncomfortable.
They are.
I had a guy one time, when my dad died, a guy stood up. Do you know what the Holy Ghost top is?
It's just jumping, right?
It's kind of not necessarily. It's kind of got like this kick-yaw kind of thing, and you switch back and forth between legs.
Oh, yes, anyway. Yes, yeah, yeah. It's a kicky thing, yeah, yeah.
Kicky thing. So he started doing that in the middle of my dad's funeral.
My church called it Jewish dancing for some reason.
Careful, James.
That's just what they thought they were doing. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying what they thought. They thought they were being Jewish.
Were they like putting their arms together and like getting real low to the ground? Because I think that's Russian dancing.
No. They thought they were. They didn't know any Jewish people. They probably wouldn't talk to any because, you know, they're just dumb. But they were fans. I like to call them Jewish fans. They're just fans of the culture, fans of, you know, they have Jew jealousy, I would say.
Did they blow shofars?
They did.
Oh my.
Yeah, so they had banners and they did that dance, and I always understood that they thought it was a Jewish dance. So it's not it's racial, not racist.
We call that the Holy Ghost hop.
Okay. That's a better name. Southern part.
Indiana. But yep. So funerals are awkward.
That was done in a funeral.
It was done in a funeral. There were several things done in that funeral. But yeah, nothing better than a drummer with glow sticks at a funeral. and another guy playing DC Talk Jesus Freak.
That's great.
People stood up and started clapping.
Really?
It was quite an event.
Well, I told you about the time I mentioned on the show that I did a funeral for one of our youth, and my job, it was an extremely long funeral, and I was like literally the fifth pastor to get up to speak because the kid had just done so many great things, and they wanted me to be the comic relief at a funeral because they knew at this point people would be, you know, whatever. It's like, no, just end it. Just stop the funeral. Don't put me up there, but I did, and they told me to tell a story.
And you didn't get up and was like, so how's everybody doing today?
No, it wasn't quite like that, but it wasn't exactly not like that either.
Man, it's dead in here.
But I told the basement ghost man story because he was one of the kids in the basement that I scared the crap out of. And then I told another one at camp where he played a character who spanked himself. And so I'm acting it out. I didn't realize what I was doing, but it's like, cause his character at one point said, give me some birthday spankings. And he turns around and I did it. I pantomimed the whole thing. And I realized I just spanked my own butt at a funeral in front of 1,000 people and they liked it. So, you know,
did they start throwing dollar bills at you?
No, not they didn't like it that much.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
get out the offering plates.
It was one of those things that at the time when you're going through it, you're like, you know, this is the most normal thing in the world. But when I got down, I was like, what did I just do? And am I going to get a phone call from pastor?
Been there before.
Oh, Lord. Well, I appreciate you coming on and doing the show, man. That was good stuff.
Well, thanks for letting me tell my crazy stories.
It's all good. We'll have to do it again sometime. I know a lot of other folks want to get in here and do this. I'm trying to schedule with a couple other listeners as well. So,
I hope you can.
I appreciate it. I mean, we always try to do a show, but when we can't, we're very grateful to have these alternative episodes. And we've been meaning to have you on for a long time, so I appreciate you doing it.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me up.
And with that, I will do the stuff we do at the end of the show, and that is this. If you have a story, please don't let it be a funeral story or a death story. I've got enough of those, thank you. But you can send your emails and audios to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. thatstoryshow.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at thatstoryshow. Review us on iTunes or wherever you found us. It always helps, and it's always very, very, very... It's like one of the best things you can do besides just telling a friend about the show. If you want more great shows, visit nlcast.com. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to producers Jennifer Kennison, Carrie Wright, Philip Ludens, Zane Estrada. Sorry, Jane. Sorry for messing up your name. And James Spangler. You can become a patron today for as little as $1 a show at patreon.com/NLcast. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or illuminating happens, or you get the Holy Ghost hop in the middle of a funeral, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, this belongs on Dad's Story Show. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you. I'm going to do my Jewish hop now.
Oh, how come it sounds wrong when you say it? Did it sound that wrong when I said it?
It did.
Oh, my goodness. Edit.
I don't think it was that bad.
All right.
I think you called it Jewish dance, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine, Jewish hop. Something about Jewish hop doesn't sound right.
Definitely better than yours.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.